بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When we leave the home in the morning, we recite a Muslim dua, اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا إلى آخر الحديث. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts. Our bodies, our entire system, Allah ta'ala must brighten and enlighten. What is this nur? What is this light that the hadith is speaking about? So nur is zahirun fi nafsihi wa muzhirun li ghayrihi. Its own, it is apparent, it's clear, you can see it, it's clear. And that nur will enlighten things that are not visible. Now imagine it's 10 o'clock at night and there is absolutely no light. No light whatsoever, no moon, nothing. Then you can't expect to see anything. Right? But with the presence of the light, everything becomes visible. Right? So nur is that which in itself is visible, can see it, and through the blessings of that nur, other things also become visible. So when Allah Ta'ala's light comes into one's heart, then it becomes simple to distinguish between the right and the wrong. At every step, at every move, you can actually see, you can decide for yourself that this is right, this is wrong. I must do this, I mustn't do this. So that is the result of the heart becoming enlightened. The brightness of Allah Ta'ala has come into the heart. So this brightness itself, you cannot see it. Right? But in the nur that Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the heart, everything else is visible. That light may not be visible, but in that blessings of that light, everything else becomes visible. You begin to see things rightly, you begin to see things in perspective. And minus this light, the right seems to be wrong, and the wrong seems to be right. Right? Evil will seem to be good, and good will seem to be evil. So that is why when we are leaving the house, then this is about the first du'as that we read. One is Tawakkaltu ala Allah, Bismillah Tawakkaltu ala Allah. And then we go on, اللهم اجعل في قلبي نورا وفي بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا. So really, in actual fact, without this nur we are in total loss. الله نور السماوات والأرض. The provider and the giver of light in the heavens and the skies, heavens and the earth, is Allah Ta'ala. It is Allah Ta'ala's nur that enables us to see things correctly. So this light, when it comes into the heart of the Muslim, then his goal is easy, his passage is easy, his road is easy. But when Allah Ta'ala robs him, Allah Ta'ala takes that light away, deprives him of that light, then everything becomes difficult. Everything is like in a standstill. You can't move, you can't see things. Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he is the grandson of Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So someone asked him that you had seen Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, your uncle, the great muhaddis, and a great Buzurg as well. He was amongst the greatest Buzurgan Adin of that Zamana. And you had his time, you had been in his presence. Then why did you leave him and take bayat at the hands of Shah Abdul Aziz Saab's student? Shah Abdul Aziz Saab's student is Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Saab. So you had left your uncle, who was the Sheikh of Sayyid Saab, and you went and took bayat at the hands of Sayyid Saab. What was the reason for that? So his reply was this, that it was our custom, it was customary amongst our families, that whatever we learnt, we should teach it to the women folk. Right? The men would go out and they would acquire the same education. And then that education would not be just kept to themselves, rather than they would impart that same education to the women folk, which is Mishkat Sharif or whatever the kitab, then they will impart it to the women folk. Unfortunately, what has happened now is we feel that it's our duty is only to acquire it, but to impart it to the women folk in the house, that's not our duty. As a result, we'll have two problems. One problem is this, that they will take a different line and we will take a different line. And gradually but surely, then we will begin to follow the line that they have taken, right? Because we'll have to be with them, we'll have to join them in everything. In the line that they are taking us, and they are drawing us towards, we will go in that line. So it comes to a wedding, and they say, make this type of israf and extravagance. So you will use that up, you will spend that money, because the wife is saying this. And where this is stemming from, it's stemming from this point that you didn't educate. When you didn't educate, now you say, no, if I'm not going to listen to what she says, there's going to be a problem with the house, I'd rather just listen to what she has to say. But who's brought the problem? To a certain extent, we will say that we brought the problem. But where we needed to educate her all the time, we will not educate. But now, at the heat of the moment, you say, no, it's not right, not right, not, don't do it. Now when you say these type of things at the heat of the moment, then she is not in a position to accept. It's too late now. Now she's hyped up, she's right to that point. Right? And when she's right to that hilt, at that point you want to stop her, then she's not going to stop. She's not going to stay away from it. But had you kept on admonishing her, educating her, teaching her, brought her to that level of acceptance, and now told her this is not right, and this is what you're supposed to be doing, the chances are that 99% she would have accepted it. See? So this is the problem that we are in today. That we will acquire that, whether it is in the madrasa, we'll acquire it in the jamaat, we'll acquire it in the khanqa, wherever it is. But then we feel, well, that's for myself, it is not for the woman folk. Now, you are working and you are living in a single unit. You, your wife and your dependents, all are working on a single unit. When you are a single unit, then eventually either you will blend into their colors or they will blend into your colors. One of the two will definitely happen. You can't stay independent of them, and it is unlikely that they will stay independent of you. My Ustad Abid al-Rahman Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. His smallest son, Muaz, met up on a serious accident. Death-threatening situation, any time he could pass away. So when the doctors had given up hope, and it was inevitable that this child is going to pass away. So he was going to pay the son a visit at the hospital. The child was in a coma, obviously. There was no question of him ever coming up from that coma. So he asked his family that, will you accompany me to visit the child to the hospital? So she says, no, I'm not interested in this. But your child Won't you want to see your child in this state? And it's about the last stages. Don't you want to see him? He says, no, I don't want to see him. Why? So she says, when this tragedy has struck, from that time you began to explain to me all the fazilat, all the virtue of patience, all the hadith that Allah Ta'ala will reward me if I am patient. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That every other deed that you do, you get rewarded according to the deed that you have done. In proportion to the deed that you have done, you get rewarded. But as for patience, then بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Then it's unlimited reward. It's not in proportion to the patience, but it's unlimited reward that Allah Ta'ala is promising you. So now you've been explaining to me all the virtues of being patient. And if I'm going to go and see this child of ours at the hospital, I'm afraid that I may lose that patience. I may become impatient, I may say something. And if I do say that, then I'm going to lose out myself. I'm going to lose out on this very, very crucial moment. I'm going to lose out. So what? Why must I risk and compromise on my rewards? I'd rather not see him now. If he lives, I will see him. And if he passes away, well, nobody can change the decree and the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Then what, let it be, let it happen. I will see him still. But why must I lose out on the sawab? So I'm not interested in going to see him. But now, Hawisab's way was that as soon as the tragedy struck, from that time he began to encourage his wife, his family, the sabr, and what he's supposed to be doing at the time of calamity, when any tragedy strikes, what should we be doing? One of Arum Rahmatullah says, Na khush eto, khush buwad bar jaane ma. Dil fidaye yaar, dil ranjane man. He says, the calamity that has come from your end, the calamity that comes from your end, the tragedy, difficulty, problem that comes, but it's coming from your end, then to me it is a thing of happiness. Na khushetu, khush buwad bar jaane ma. The tragedy that comes from your end is a thing of happiness for me. Dil fidaye yaar, dil ranjane man. That I have offered my heart, offered my heart to the beloved. The one that has created this situation and this problem, obviously is Allah Ta'ala. Eventually you lead it up, it's Allah Ta'ala's decision that prevails. So when He's brought it out, and He's the beloved, so there must be some goodness in that for me, though I can't see it. Presently I can't see it, my understanding is limited, my reasoning is very, very naive, but Allah Ta'ala knows what is now and what is for the future. So when He has decreed this, there must be some good in it. And definitely Allah Ta'ala is my friend. When Allah Ta'ala is my friend, then there must be some good in it that I cannot see. And I have the total confidence in my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected son Ibrahim, had passed away in infancy. His mother, Maria Qibtiya, she was naturally affected, and more so that the milk in her breast was still full, so that would add to her agony that this child is gone. And had the child been alive, he would have been drinking from this milk. And this was adding, increasing to the agony. Rasulullah SAW had seen his respected wife, Maria, in the state. She's agonizing, she's in grief. So Rasulullah SAW consoled her, comforted her in this way, that Allah Ta'ala has appointed a breastfeeding woman to complete his feeding in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala has appointed a woman to complete his feeding in Jannah. And if you so wish, I can show you that woman that is feeding him in Jannah. So she says, no, I don't wish to see him. I don't wish to see that woman. Why? If I request that I wish to see that woman that is feeding my dear son Ibrahim, that means I have not the faith in your words, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then my faith is in what I see. Whereas my faith is greater in what you say than what I can see. Okay. So he says, Na khushatu khushbuwad barjane ma dil fidai yar dil ranjane man. That the calamity, the tragedy, the problem that comes from your end, O Allah Ta'ala, then that, I'm happy with it, I embrace it. I don't ask for it, I don't request for it. But if it comes, I take it in the same stride, that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my friend, and when it's come from the friend, there must be some good in it. So this is a problem, that we don't have that type of muhabbat and that type of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that love of Allah ta'ala increases, then anything that comes from His end is taken in that stride. Because we have that degree of love. But if that degree of love is not there, then why this? Why had this to happen? And do I deserve this type of a treatment? See? What wrong have I done that I must suffer these type of situations, right? So why do these questions come up? The questions come up because we don't have that degree of love. So the missing element in the life is love. Right? If that love does come, then it's taken in the stride. Oh, it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's taken it. Right? Imagine, for a moment, imagine that the king is sitting here, right? And the king asked for 1,000 rand. Just hypothetical situation, right? Or the king asked for something. Right? So from the hundreds of people that were there, all of them offered, and the king accepted one person's money. There were hundreds of people sitting there, all offered the king the 1,000 rand. But the king accepted the one person's wealth. And what will happen to his heart? He'll be over the moon. He says, hey, from all those people that are sitting there, the king had to accept mine. He didn't accept anybody else's. So the one that is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees it differently. He sees it in this way, that from all these people that are present, right, or from all the people, Allah has accepted my child, He accepted my thing. He doesn't look at it from the perspective, from the dimension of it being a calamity. Rather, he looks at it from the perspective that from everybody else, Allah has accepted mine. So I'm very fortunate that Allah accepted mine and left out those others that are there. Na khush hai to khush buad barjane ma dil fidai yaar dil ranjane man. So we are speaking about Maula Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and we branched off. So someone asked Maula Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that you had the company of your uncle who was the greatest Shaykhul Hadith. And apart from him being the greatest Shaykh of Hadith of your time, he was about the greatest of the Mashaykh of the time. But then why did you take bayat at the hands of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who is the murid of your uncle Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib? Why did you have to take bayat at his hand? I was explaining here that Maula Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah says that it was a customary thing in our families that whatever we learnt, we would impart it into the house. Whatever we learnt here, we would take it to the house. So there is total harmony. In the relationship, there is total harmony. There isn't a misunderstanding. The relationship is not inconsistent. If the family is going in a certain direction, the husband is going in the same direction. Like the hadith says, that Allah Ta'ala's mercy be upon that man. If he gets up for tahajjud, then he gets up his wife as well. And if she is a little bit sluggish in getting up, he sprinkles some water onto her face, and she also gets up and joins him in tahajjud. But now you tell me that if you didn't prepare your wife's dhan, and you got her up and you sprinkle water on the face, what will happen? It will be a war zone. say, it will be a genuine war zone. The thing is, you didn't prepare. You didn't tell her the fazilat, you didn't bring her up in that way. Now, at the 13th hour, I'm sprinkling water at her. But what's your problem now? Huh? What will she say? What's your problem? So this preparation has to be done. There's no two ways about it. We're reading in the morning. On the day of Qiyamah, there'll be situations where the wife, the children, and your dependents will have a claim against you in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, this husband of ours, this husband of mine, or this father of ours, in worldly respects, he's done everything for us. He bought good clothes, he gave us a good shelter, a good home, and good food. He fed us with everything. He's done good for us. But the direction that he was supposed to give us, that will lead towards you, that he didn't give that type of direction that was required. As a result, in everything else we progressed. A lot of wealth we had. Father made a good investment for us. We had good wealth, right? And a lot of good clothing he bought for us. So on every occasion we could wear new suits of clothing. And good food he prepared for us, bought for us, so we were very nice and healthy, plump in our bodies. Everything he looked after. If we needed to be hospitalized, whatever, he would pay the bills. Everything he would do for us. But as with respect to this dimension of our lives, he neglected it. He took us everywhere. Wherever we wanted to go, he took us for Umrah, took us, the whole world took us. But this dimension of our lives, he neglected. So Allah Ta'ala, we complain to you against our Father. In your presence we complain today. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. After all, it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Take care of yourselves and take care of your household as well. Like in everything else, we take care of them and we take good care of them. It's not that we just take care of them just to appease ourselves. No, good care. What food they like and what will they be happy with in the house. If we need to put up a bathroom or a toilet, then what finishes they would like. All the finer things, the finest of fittings, we will look at it. They need this type of things and they will be happy with it. Let's buy it for them. So the finest things we would look. And then we won't even think about whether it's makruh or it's right to do it or not, mustahab to do it, or faras or wajib. No, the wife likes it. Whether Allah Pak likes it or not, no, the wife likes it. She will like this type of tile, she will like that type of finish, that type of paint, that type of blend, you know, she will like that type of finishes she will like in the kitchen, so we'll do all that. So you won't even ask whether it's mustahab, it's faras, it's wajib, it's sunnah, you won't ask anything. But now the moment it comes to deen, so the first response will be, but it's not faraz, you know. It's not faraz, but not wajib. Allah Ta'ala won't hold us responsible for it. Why are you so hard about it? Now, why do you get this type of response? The reason is that we train them in only one direction. And for our own comfort, we didn't take them on the line of deen. What will be enjoyable to Allah Ta'ala? What will be pleasing to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What will Allah Ta'ala be happy with? What will his Nabi be happy with? As a result, what happens? When you only take them onto this direction and we forget that direction, then you have 70-80% of the homes turning into a war zone. So you're only worried about the material. That aspect we have totally forgotten. So this must be, it must be the end result. So Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah says that it was customary in our families that we would teach them. Whatever we learned, hadith, Quran, tarjumah, everything we would teach them. The last thing we would teach them. And I was teaching my sister Mishkat Sharif. And when we came to the section of nikah, then deliberately I omitted that. I didn't want to teach her the kitabun nikah. The reason being that my sister was a widow, right? And in India at that time, for a widow to get married was considered something very disgusting. You know, woman is widowed now and she is remarrying, then people will not take it well, you see. It was taken something as a disgusting, something embarrassing, something reprehensible, na'uzubillah. So if I'm going to teach her the Kitabun Nikah, the section on Nikah, she will look at the fazilat of getting married and she will say that, get me married. And this will amount to some type of embarrassment and disgrace for me that my sister at this age now she's getting married. You see. So deliberately I omitted that section and I carried on. But then when I took bayat at the hands of Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, my heart was illuminated. Suddenly I seen that type of noor and that light in my heart that my heart was unacquainted with. Then I went up myself, I took the initiative, I went up myself to my sister and I told her that nikah is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you should get married. Let alone teaching her that section in Mishkat again, I went up to her and I told her that, you know, this is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and it's a sunnah that is dead in India. Right? And alivening a sunnah will bring you the sawab of so many martyrs. So don't you want that reward? So this is what we are asking for, especially in this i'tikaf, is that Allah Ta'ala must enlighten our hearts. It's called jila bakhshe. Allah Ta'ala grants us the light. And once that light comes in, right, then it's easy to move. Now, presently we can't move, we don't have the motivation. Though when you hear the bayan on a Jummah, or we hear the hadith in the kitab reading that this virtue for this deed, we'll make that intention, inshallah, we'll do it. We hear about interest, for example, so no, you must never deal in interest. Overdraft, don't do it. When we hear that bayan on the Jummah. But then, when we come out of the masjid, now you have to continue with life, you know, life must continue. At that time, that certain sudden josh came up, that feeling came up very high. And then, before you could enter, before you could leave the door of the masjid, that whole josh has collapsed. So the reason is that that light that you had received was too dim, too little. It was such a light, it was exposed to all type of aggressive environments, like a candle you are taking, and that candle is exposed to a stormy weather, right? You take a burning candle, take it out in a stormy weather, rainy, what happens? The moment you're outside, it's gone, finished. So similar is the condition of the light that we have, that it's there whilst we are in the environment. Whilst we're in the mahol, we see a light. That flicker we see. And we make intention, we'll do this, and we'll do this, we'll leave out this. But as we leave the masjid, the precincts of the masjid, we see that light has already extinguished, finished, it's gone. See? So now, in this etika, what we need really is, Allah Ta'ala must grant us that light that remains. It's not only till the precincts of this masjid, to the precincts of this environment. And for that what is required, Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, used to emphasize, sukut or sukoon. One is to remain silent, engage in your work, do your work. You do your work, he'll do his work, everybody does their work. Right? You do your work. Number two, let your mind also be at ease. Your mind is also calm, like your tongue is calm, it's not moving, right? It's still. So let your mind also be calm and relaxed. Let it not now float around, or after i'tikaf I'm going to do this, or iftari time I'm going to eat this. Right? Don't let it float around, I need to do this, I need to get this thing right. Even though it may be something deeni. Don't now plan and project now. Let your mind just go to Allah Ta'ala. Rasulullah used to seclude himself in the cave of Hira, right? He used to be all alone. He used to be all alone and he used to seclude himself. There are many reasons why Rasulullah did this. But one of the things that I achieved is a special bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you hold a glass, right? A magnifying glass against the sun, right? So you hold it for a period and you keep that focus. that focus, you'll find that burning feeling, right? You'll get burnt according to strength, right? How strong it is, you will find that degree of heat. So what we require now is that degree of heat within us. That heat, Allah Prabhupada has granted us that heat. And when that heat is there, you'll find that motivation. You'll find that enthusiasm. The hadith is being released, you want to do it. And you got the motivation. And until you don't do it, you don't feel at ease. You don't feel comfortable until you haven't practiced it. So it's not that we don't have that light, but the light is too dim. And it is exposed to hostile environments. The moment it's gone to a hostile environment, then it's extinguished again. It becomes extremely dim. It can't continue. It can't continue any longer. So Allah Ta'ala has given us that light that we can persist under all circumstances, wherever we are going. That light must be so strong that can endure all circumstances. So in order for that to happen, one is sukut, remain silent, focus to Allah Ta'ala. Leave everything else now. For the rest of the year we need everything. But now let us focus to Allah Ta'ala. You know, when that you use the car for the entire year, and now you come for a major service, right? For the major service. When you come for the major service, then you can't say, I want to use the car now again. The one that's going to service your car says, oh, rather you make up your mind, you want to service this car, or you take it out. So no, I want to take it out in Jamaat, I want to take it out to go to Masjid. But then make up your mind. If you want this car to be serviced well, then just leave it here, take some other car then. But this car, leave it here. Right? This car now leave it here for this week or so. I see it properly, carefully, everything I must fix it up. Now you leave it in his hands, and by the will of Allah Ta'ala, after a week or something, it's really well serviced. Now it will last you, it will take you well for 1 year again. But you come and do a slap door desk job here, what happens? Half job, then you're half outside as well. So when you dedicate yourself, then put your focus entirely to Allah Ta'ala. So the one thing that is required, as he used to say, sukut, right? And the other thing that he used to say is sukoon, the heart also is at ease. It's calm. It's not rotating, not floating around everywhere else. It's just here. You have given yourself to Allah Ta'ala. You have dedicated yourself to Allah Ta'ala. You are focusing to Allah Ta'ala. Then be truthful and be loyal. Honor that dedication that you have made. You have made a dedication to Allah Ta'ala. You have dedicated yourself. So honor it. For this special light to come, then we need to be behaving like this. See, Zakariya alayhi salam had asked for a child. Allah Ta'ala answered his dua, that I bless you with a child. So he asked Allah Ta'ala, give me a sign that I know that my dua has been answered. He requested for a child, and for dini reasons, that this child must give direction to the Bani Israel. So he didn't want a child just for excitement and just for the thrill of it, no. He wanted the child, يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. Yeah. And إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِ. That there's no one to give the direction to my people. So I ask you for a child, that this child can give direction to my people. So Allah Ta'ala answered his dua, but now man is eager to know that, you know, I want to have some sign. That my dua is answered, I must have some sign. So he asked and he requested for a sign. When he requested for the sign, Allah Ta'ala says, آيَتُكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَةَ اِيَّامٍ. That for the 3 days from now, you will not be able to speak to anybody. Once your wife is already, she's already expecting this child, you know, she's conceived. Once she's conceived, you will see that you will not be able to speak for 3 days. Not that he will become dumb, no. It's not that he will be dumb. Namaz, zikr, tasbih, everything else he can continue. But he will not be able to speak for that 3 days. Right? فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِي مِنَ الْمِحْرَابِ فَأَوْحَىٰ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ سَبِّحُوا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيًّا. So now, What is the wisdom behind this? That he's unable to speak to his people, though a Nabi will speak only about good. He'll be only teaching and imparting good, but in these 3 days, he will not be able to communicate with his people. Why? So the Mufassirin say that once his wife has conceived, right, once she's conceived, and he's sure that he's going to get a child, and the child will give direction to the Bani Israel. So it's a very great ni'mat, a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So in lieu of this favor, he needs to make additional shukr. He needs to be showing even greater appreciation to Allah ta'ala. And that appreciation will reach the highest when he's not communicating with people. Right? He's not talking to people. Now he's just focused to Allah ta'ala. He's just taking the praises of Allah ta'ala, tasbih of Allah ta'ala. So now the appreciation, the shukr will be at its highest. So these few days that we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us see that our niyat was to dedicate it to Allah ta'ala. So let us honor this dedication. Let us not have any flaw. And the way to do it is sukut. When it's needed for us to talk, we will talk. Otherwise, keep quiet. Just focus to Allah ta'ala, whether you are in your cubicle, whether you are outside, wherever, but just focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. Aur koi kaam nahi. One is remain silent. And number two is keep the heart also dedicated, keep it focused, let it not rotate all over the show. Okay? Keep it calm, focused just to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I've made this 10 days I've given it to you. Allah, you accept it for me, and let me be true in my intentions. Allah, tawfiq naseeb kare.